I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Check this out.
Yes.
My lawyer, I hired this new lawyer, and he's kind of like this Hollywood power attorney. Real tall, good-looking, smart dude, right? And he goes to this Google convention. I thought it might be Zeitgeist or something like that, where all the smart people go and, like, okay, come together. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's, like, a few of those. Paul Allen has one. And it's like, you know, where all the geniuses of the world come.
Okay.
It's sort of like TED, but smarter, if that's even possible. And he came back, and he told me about, because I started to, I bought a Tesla.
Yes,
right?
You
saw that online, right?
I saw the online, yeah.
So, and it's been kind of interesting, and I started getting rid of all this stuff. And I bought this Tesla, and I'm like, I just need one car. You know, Heidi has a car, I just need one car. And I've been trying to kind of get rid of things, and he comes back and he's telling me this story because I was talking about the Tesla and how I never need gas again and how it's fascinating to me, like, now that I look around, knowing that the technology for a Tesla is possible. Like, I literally don't need gas ever again. You plug the car in and that's it. But on top of that, they've built these charging stations, these solar-powered charging stations across the country, so you'll be able, on solar power, to drive across country in this car. Like, it's fascinating. It has the internet in it. The things it can do is incredible. And it makes every other vehicle look like a dinosaur. Because you're going, wait a minute. If this is all possible from a technology standpoint, why, you know, why are we living the way we're living in these cars that can't do, you know, one-tenth of the things? So, anyway, we're talking about Tesla. And he starts talking to me about how these guys have built this solar airplane. And they're going to take it around the world on solar power. So I think it's next year.
Wow.
And I was like, how is that possible? How is that even doable? And he starts telling me about how they had to engineer it a certain way, and it has to fly at a certain altitude, and it's a significantly higher altitude than we fly at on a commercial plane.
Higher.
Yeah, way higher. Way higher. And then they were saying that in order to do that, like in order to get the plane to be able to fly that high, they started having to like unload all of this stuff from the plane.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
And I started thinking about that, and he was like, do you get it? Are you getting the metaphor? Because he's a really cool guy. I love this guy. He's also very entrepreneurial, right? And he's kind of, took me on, and he's looking at our business and like ways that he can help us, with venture capitalists and building different businesses. And he's a real innovative thinker. And so he's telling me this story, and I was like, oh, I'm supposed to get the metaphor, right? It's a literal story about what they're doing with the plane, but how, like, if I want to go to that next level, I'm going to have to let go of some things.
Right.
And, because I came into his office and I was like, I want this for my career and I want that for my career. And he's like, you want to breathe rarefied air. What you're talking about, only a handful of people in the world are able to do. And most fail if they get there at all. And I was like, I'm willing to fail. Like, the failing part I'm okay with. I just want to try to get in the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he sort of told me this story, and I've been thinking a lot about the year I've been having. And I have gradually started to try to let all of this stuff go. And I'm going to take a small diversion, but I promise it's going to tie back into this message. So my little sister is going off to her third year in college, right? And she is doing a semester abroad at Oxford.
Wow.
Yeah, she's not dumb. And she's telling me, like, I think this is going to be the best year of my life. And I was like, well, take it easy. And I was like, I don't know that it's going to be the best right. year of your life, but it's certainly going to be an awesome year. And I'm paying her bills. She's no spoiled kid. I'm not giving her a ton of money, but I'm making sure that, like, she doesn't have to worry about food or bills or working, that mm-hmm. she can focus on her studies, and she can, they go to school for 2 months and then they get 5 weeks off, and they go to school for 2 months and then they get 5 weeks off, and she's going to be in Europe and she's going to be able to travel around. Did anyone in this room ever have that opportunity, like, where you go to school and people pay your bills and you kind of get that carefree time in your life where you don't really have to worry and you can explore, and it's like you don't have work, you don't have things to responsibilities that tie you down, like
1, 2, 3
No. I mean, at 17 years old, I was on my own.
Yeah.
My mom helped me a little bit with like health insurance, and from 17 to 18, she gave me $400 a month for rent, and she helped me get stable. But no, I mean, I've been working since I was, I was on my own at 17. I was working at 15, and I never had that opportunity. And as life has progressed, and I was thinking, God, sweetie, this is a really unique time because you don't have all of these obligations. Yeah. And as you get older, they pile on. So, you're in your early 20s and it's just you, but you don't have the money to sort of be able to do these things. And then you get in your 30s and you might have some success, but then you start a family. And it kind of becomes exponential. And I look at my life and there are times when I just feel crushed under the pressure of, okay, I'm taking care of my family, people in her family. We have a company that if I blow up, a lot of people get hurt that have families. And it's just, there's a lot of responsibility. And I've tried this year to really say, okay, what am I drowning under? And like, what is unnecessary? What can I get rid of? Mm-hmm. I've taken on all these things. And there was a time when the things really filled that void for me. And you and I talked about it. Like, I wasn't eating too much anymore, but I was buying a bunch of crap I didn't need. And it was like, let me fill this hole in my heart with a car or a watch or a... And, the more crap you have, the more crap needs to be maintained, the more crap needs to be maintenanced and serviced and insured, and the more responsibilities you have. And I feel like I've just piled all of this crap onto my life. And I was like, I'm selling every watch, getting rid of it. I'm keeping like maybe two for the kids. I'm getting rid of all of them. I don't wear them anymore. I'm getting rid of them. I don't need all these cars. I don't need, to have multiple houses. I don't need all of this stuff. And I think the stuff was me really posturing, trying to show that I have value, or maybe create an image or fill that hole, right? Does that make sense?
Very much so.
But it was exhausting to me to always have to keep it all up and keep up the image and try
keep
to
it all going.
Keep it all going.
Yeah.
And in addition, there are certain projects where you're like, I'm not going to let go of this. I'm going to see this all the way through. We're going to make this work. And my CFO sat my CEO, Giancarlo. So my CFO is named Ray and my CEO is named Giancarlo. And he sat us down. And there were a couple projects that G and I just would not let go of. And he sat us down and he said, like, do you realize how much money and how much time you two are wasting on things that we are going to make such a minimal profit on? And consequently, if you poured all of this effort and all of this energy into businesses that are vertical, meaning businesses we can grow that we would own, like Body Shred, for example, which is this class I created that's going into gyms to sort of revolutionize like the Les Mills body pump. It's like I'm trying to replace that and bring people more into the future with more cutting edge science and what have you, or like a Zumba or a CrossFit. If we focused on those things and we were willing to really pare down, because we had so many projects. And my lawyer said the same thing. He's like, you guys have too many things going on. You're spread too thin. You're not able to do them all right. You got to pare down and focus. And it was like Sophie's Choice when we sat down and started cutting
oh,
projects.
Sure.
Because there was an app that we'd been working on and we poured so much effort into it and so much time. And it was like we had to cut the app. And then we were talking about, like, do we go into this project with skincare and this, that, and the page and making holistic beauty for the, and we just don't cut it. You know, we wanted to manage all these people and we don't have time to cut it. And it was like, ugh. And yet, as I've begun to do this year, it has been a hard year because you're having to come to terms with letting things go, accepting that certain things have not been worth it or have failed or, but it's sort of like throwing good money after bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
as I've started to offload, whether it's assets, right, things that I've had or projects I've taken on or you name it, I've slowly begun to feel more and more relieved, you know, and free up more and more energy to make the handful of things we work on great, as opposed to this one's failing, that one's failing, this is falling apart, that's falling apart.
This one's sort of okay.
This one's on life support. We're, you know,
yeah,
spread too thin. So I guess I would say to you, if you're just feeling crushed by your responsibilities or overwhelmed by the things you've taken on, maybe it's time to let some stuff go, man. Start chucking stuff off the plane so you can fly a little bit higher and go to that next level in your life where you want to be. And ask, what are you holding on to that isn't serving you? It could, by the way, be a relationship, a crappy relationship that you just keep fighting for, that you just won't let go of, even though it exhausts you and it takes a ton of your energy. And it might be that guy that you're dating or girl that you're dating, or it could be that business project that it just won't come off the ground, that isn't meant to be, or all these things that you've bought because, who knows, whatever your reasons might be, you like the look of it or what have you. And I know this is going to sound really disgusting, and please, you know, don't hate me for saying this, but I just, in an effort to be transparent, I had bought a Ferrari, and I know, I'm gross, and this is a rich person problem. This is not a real problem, and it's not actually a problem. But when I was a kid, one of the things that I didn't have a ton to bond with my dad about, but he had a Ferrari, right? He had this really cool Magnum PI kind of Ferrari. And he used to drive me to soccer practice in it, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And so I bought this Ferrari and I tricked this car out and I did the most horrible thing in the world and put a car seat in it and would, like, every now and again take Lou to school in it, and it made her super happy. And we just looked like idiots driving down the road, especially pulling into that school that I told you about where everybody's green and everything's organic.
For First of all, right? It's a 68 Bronco, and now it's
the Ferrari, right? So, and it was like, you know, we'd roll up and people would just roll their eyes. And of course, Lou would be like, my mommy drives a Ferrari. And Heidi, you know, when she came home from school with Lou and Caitlin, her teacher said, just so you know, Lou's told everybody in school that her mommy drives a Ferrari. Heidi was like, I want you to sell that car. And I was like, I'm not going to, there's no way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to sell it. No. And she's like, babe, I don't understand. Like, sell the car. Yeah. She's like, we look like a-holes. And I was like, you don't understand. I'm a car aficionado. It's a Pininfarina masterpiece. You just don't appreciate this. You know, you're into chickens and bees. This car is a masterpiece. It's a work of art.
And yeah, Jillian.
We don't have garage space and nothing can go in the garage because the Ferrari has to be in the garage and all this crap. And, you know, my business manager is like, oh my God, the insurance on the Ferrari. Anyway, to make a long story short, I bought the Tesla, right? And I just started selling everything. And it came time to sell that car. And I was like, no. And I really hung on to it. I really hung on to it. And then I thought, okay, how often do I drive it? Do I really need it? You know, where can I put that money where it would be better invested? And how can I be more sort of responsible? And I sold it. I sold the car. And I invested the money. I actually bought Tesla stock, which has gone up, I'll have you know. And it was like, yeah, it did something for me. Instead of causing me more aggravation, I invested it, and now it's making me money. And I guess I'm just saying, whatever it is that you're holding on to. And that car meant a lot. It just equated back to a lot in my childhood.
Well, that's just it. You weren't just cutting away from the car. I mean, there's more loaded into that car.
For sure.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And it was also like, it was the things that I loved about my relationship with my dad.
Sure.
So, of course, my 3-year-old now, by the way, drives down the road and she goes, Ferrari. Yeah, she knows. She knows exactly. And she knows every model. And which I love, but it makes Heidi completely humiliated. And she knows. She goes, that's an old one, Mama. I'm like, it is, honey. She goes, but not the good one. I'm like, no, that's not a Dino or a California.
Oh, God.
She knows exactly. And so I guess that's whatever. You don't know my pain.
No, I know. I don't know your pain. I don't know, but I'm sure
I'm just saying, what is exhausting you? What's wearing you down? And what can you just cut the cord on, man? Just let go and free yourself up energetically, emotionally, psychologically, to give you that much more resource to pursue peace, calm, happiness, tranquility, quality of life. So we'll see how this plays out in another year or two.
Yeah. You know, you and Heidi are kind of like Lucy and Desi. Remember in the long, long trailer when Desi couldn't get the trailer up and Lucy had all the rocks in the trailer and she started throwing out the rocks. She had to throw out the, you know, probably.
Why did he have trailers and the rocks in the trailer?
I can't remember why Lucy saved the rocks, but she'd put them all and he couldn't get the trailer up the hill and it was going backwards like this and he was going, Lucy, blah, 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 blah. And she had these, so they had to start shucking out the rock to get the trailer up.
But why were the rocks in there?
I can't remember why Lucy got the rock. I'll have to investigate that. It's a perfect anecdote for this amazing segment you just did, which I probably just ruined once again.
I hardly think a rock equals a Ferrari.
You talked about the plane, how they had to get rid of the stuff to get the plane up.
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
You are the rock. You are the rock.
I'm throwing myself out?
Okay, you're not the, I'm not sure, but it's all good. I loved this segment very much. And I'm sorry I just ruined it. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. For any of you guys out there who've ever thought about creating your own domain, Hover.com is the place to go. First of all, they believe in the best customer service in the business. There's no hold, no wait time. You will always get a live human being to help you out with any of your issues or concerns immediately.
In addition to that, these guys have access to the .net domain names. I particularly love .net because it opens up a suite of options that might not otherwise be available. And the other cool thing about this is that now you can add Google's productivity app. So Gmail, Calendar, Drive, Docs, the whole package is available to you. And for our listeners, they're offering 10% off a new domain name of your choice. And all you've got to do is go to hover.com, hover.com/JillianMichaels to get started today.
Are you ready for a snappy segment?
As per usual.
It's about biking.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So as we've talked about, I've become not a great biker, or even maybe a good biker, but a decent biker. And I really love it. So
you have the body for a biker, I think.
Oh, you think?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Because you're compact and you got really strong thighs.
Oh.
And I can see you fitting on your ice, although I did see your bike when we were on tour.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
fancy.
A nice bike.
It's fancy shorts.
Yeah.
It's Italian.
And I can see you. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's sweet. It was sweet.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, you know what? Okay. I'm a big spin class person. I invested in a little company called Flywheel, which is like this very fancy, super trendy, cool spin studio.
Okay.
But I also ride my street bike out on the road. So, like, when I'm out in Malibu, because there is no Flywheel out in Malibu. They're in the city. When I'm in the city, I go to Flywheel. And when I'm in Malibu, I ride my bike on PCH, which is dangerous. Yeah. But I do it. And so I just thought, let's go over some pointers because people tend to love spinning. They do. It's very interesting. There's a contestant we have this season who's had a real hard time. And she hates the gym. She hates working out. And, you know, for Dolvet and Bob, they don't really understand that. They're like, what do you mean you hate working out? Find something you like to do in here and do it. And I get it. I'm like, I get it. You hate working out. I don't like it either. But I think about the positive results of it, right? But she went to one of Bob's spin classes and came out of that spin class saying, I found something I like. I like to spin. And I have yet to meet a student or a contestant or whatever who doesn't like it. Danny is going to become a Flywheel instructor from last season. So, you know, a lot of them just fall in love with it. So I thought we should go over a few pointers, because if you get a little intimidated about how to set up your bike or what have you, I would honestly just go up to your instructor and say, hey, it's my first class. Can you show me how to set up my bike? So the first thing that I do is from the tip of my seat to the handlebars, mm-hmm. I put my elbow on the very tip of my seat and then I extend my forearm, right? And there should be enough distance that your fingertips touch the handlebar, like the little pole that locks into the front of the spin bike, to the tip of your seat. So if the seat is too far back or too far forward, adjust it accordingly. Now, if you bought a road bike, they're going to adjust your bike, just so you know.
Yeah.
So you buy a road bike, the guys at the bike store are going to set you up on it. If you're in spin class, you're pedaling, you want to make sure that when the leg is fully extended, heels down, there is still a slight bend in your knee.
Right. Okay.
You don't want to be hyperextending. And also, you don't want to be too low either. You want a nice stroke, a nice range of motion. Now, the lower the handlebars are if you're on a spin bike, the more core you're required to use. Because I don't want you to have all of your weight on your handlebars. I see a lot of beginners in a spin class putting all the weight on their handlebars. My contestants do it too. It should be 60% on the saddle, 40% on the handlebars.
Okay.
So if you're feeling like all your weight's on your handlebars, raise them up a little bit if your core can't fully support you. Now, if you are getting out of the saddle, whether this is on your road bike or whether it's in your spin class, I see a lot of people stand up on the bike and they are almost perpendicular to the ground. And you should not be. Your butt needs to be back hovering over the seat.
Oh, I see where you're...
you don't want to be standing upright.
Yep.
You need your butt back. So you want to get long with your torso with a flat back. And although you might want to look down because we get tired and we put our head down, first of all, if you're on the road, you need to keep your head up. Even if it bothers your neck a little bit, you've got to keep your head up. But second of all, it can slow down your oxygen intake. and it makes you more tired because your head's down.
Sure.
So you want to keep your head up, A, so you can see, but if you're in class in particular also because it helps with your oxygen intake, which is going to give you more energy and allow you to be a little bit faster. In addition, when you're pedaling, you have to have spin shoes. I highly recommend it. Okay. And the reason is because it's not just about a push stroke. People tend to think of biking as like all forward, like jamming down on the pedals in a forward motion with the ball of their foot. But a big part of biking is the pull part of the stroke. So you press down, but you pull your way through the turn with your hamstrings. You're actually pulling the pedal back and up. So spin shoes are really key so that you're not just pushing, but you're pulling the pedal. It's an even push pull. So pedal smoothly, not all push, not all pull, even parts of both. Now, if you're on the road, let's talk about a few basics, okay? You want to follow the same rules that the cars follow. If there's a red light, you have to unclip and stop. And that can be kind of scary for a lot of people, and I did wipe out one. When I first started riding, a PCH just right down.
And
I didn't get my foot out of the thing.
Right, and it is a fear. I've talked to many people who have that fear, too. Practice pulling out.
Yeah. And it's real simple to do. You just twist your heel to the outside, and then you'll unclip. So I unclip one, and then I put that foot down, and I don't unclip the other.
Gotcha.
Okay, also, you want to ride. If there's a bike lane, obviously, that's perfect. If not, you want to ride on the inside of the white line because the road's going to be in better shape there. You're going to avoid potholes and what have you. I've seen a lot of people ride outside the white line and the road, and it just don't.
Yeah, you're starting to you're challenging the drivers then.
You really are. Yeah, you really are. And another really important thing, I always look inside the parked cars because that's where you're going to get it.
Oh, you're going to get doored.
So doored or someone pulls out in front of you.
Yeah, true.
Always, always watch the inside of those parked cars, man, because that's where you're going to get it. Yeah. Almost always.
Good point.
Of course you need a helmet. That's really important. Another thing about braking, I saw a guy wipe out the other day because he went on this really sharp turn and he'd picked up a lot of speed, but he leaned into the turn.
Right.
And you don't ever want your shoulders to not be parallel to the ground. You don't want to lean your body into the turn.
Oh, he just leaned his body.
He leaned his body. You can move the bike, but you counterbalance it so you extend the outside leg. And you keep your shoulders parallel to the ground even when you're turning the bike. So your body is actually straight. On a sharp turn. Does that make sense?
It makes sense about the leg being extended. Yes.
And you push on the outer pedal. So you're sort of counterbalanced. You don't want to lean your body into the turn. Shoulders need to stay parallel to the ground. And if you look where you're going, the bike is going to follow. Sort of like a motorcycle.
Right.
So, if wherever you look, that's where the bike's going to go. Horses are the same. So, like, with a motorcycle, you look through the turn. It's the same thing with a bicycle. And even when I'm riding, like, one of the horses and I'll take a lesson, my trainer will tell me, okay, look through the turn at the jump. Look now at the jump. And when when there's a horse, a motorcycle, or a bike, like, when you look, that's where that thing's going to go.
It's such a simple
yeah,
thing.
If you look down, bye-bye. On any one of those things, bye-bye. Don't look down. My daughter takes her little lessons, and her teacher's name is Vicky, and Vicky's like, don't look down, Lou. What happens when you look down? And Lou goes, fall down! And Heidi fell off this horse once, and Lou was on my back on Buzz, and this was not our horse. So, like, Buzz, I had Lou with me in a carrier, right? She's on my back. I've had Buzz, for 7 years. Yeah. The horse is dead calm. He's bomb-proof. But this was someone else's horse that Heidi was riding. And he threw her off. And Lou goes, you look down, Mommy. You fall down. And she never lets Heidi live it down. The horse's name is Oscar. Or whenever we go to the stable, she goes, Mommy, there's Oscar. You look down. You fall down. And it's like, to this day, Heidi is mortified. Absolutely mortified.
It ain't fun getting thrown off a horse.
No. Last but not least, if you're going down a hill and you're picking up a lot of speed and you get scared, don't slam on the front brake. You want to brake evenly or you will fly.
Oh, yeah.
Fly forward. Yeah. So you want to, the lower you get, the lower your center of gravity. But if you are picking up a ton of speed and it's scaring you, you know, same thing with if you lift, you want to keep your bum back, but if you lift your torso a little, it catches the wind like a sail and it will slow you down. But you break both brakes evenly. If you just break the back, you're going to skid. And if you just break the front, you're going to flip over. Break both of them evenly. Last but not least, if you haven't ridden for a while, make sure you get your bike checked up. Make sure that if it hasn't been used, it's tuned up, that the cables and the bolts and all the crucial bits are working smoothly. Make sure that the chain is lubed, because a dirty chain is really hard to pedal. So every 300 miles or so, you want to spritz it with like a citrus degreaser. And you can take a little toothbrush and clean the chain. Make sure your tires are pumped up.
Yep.
Oh my God, I don't understand how they go so flat. I really don't. So you want to make sure you can check the sidewall of the tire for the recommended pounds per square inch, which is called the PSI, and it'll tell you how much pressure should be in the tire. So you can look at your little pump and know when you filled it up enough. Make sure you inflate them once a week. It's incredible. If I don't ride for a few days, I go, my tires are flat. Can't figure it out. And learn how to fix a flat.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I see people on the side of the road with a flat tire.
And they're phoning.
Yes.
They're phoning.
And for like a couple of dollars, someone in a bike shop can show you how to do it. You're going to need tire levers to take the tire off the rim, a spare tube, and a mini pump. And it's a piece of cake. And last but not least, I always make sure I have my ID on me, my cell phone on me, and like water, of course, but like cash or a credit card in case of an emergency. Yep. So like if I need water or I need to get home, I have money. I have my phone. If I get hit by a car, I have ID. They know who to call. Always ride smart.
If I could ask you one quick question about when you buy the bike. I know when you buy a road bike, you obviously have to go to the shop.
Yeah.
You have
to go to the shop to have them fit you.
But would you ever buy, like, I'm going to buy a spin bike for home. Would you, and I know you can get them really cheap online, would that be something you could buy online, or would you go to the shop?
No, you totally could, but you know, you might want to try it and you might want to just see what else is out there. But you know something, Flywheel is actually making bikes for at home, which are really cool, because the Flywheel bikes are awesome because they show you your wattage, like your power output and your rotations per minute. So as a teacher, you can make sure that someone's intensity is on point, because you can say, you know, 90 rotations per minute and a wattage of 60 or 40 or whatever. So you can control it. It tells you exactly where you are, and they have little hand weights on the bike. Any bike at home is going to be adjustable.
Adjustable. Okay,
a spin bike, yeah.
Okay.
But your road bike, you need to have them, like, to fit you to it.
Yeah, don't be buying that.
Not unless you're, like, a professional biker. No.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
I cannot tell you how many people I've trained that have ended up becoming personal trainers. Mm. I think that people who appreciate how fitness has empowered them in every facet of their lives suddenly feel compelled to share that message with others.
Pass it forward.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it in so many Biggest Loser contestants. And even back in the day when I would just work with, even 10 years ago when I was training soccer moms, they would take it up as a side job because they loved it so much. Or maybe you are a fitness fanatic. But if you are considering a career as a personal trainer, you want to check out the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I have to tell you that, you know, I was an overweight kid. We all know that. And I fell into this line of work because I loved it. Not necessarily so much, oh, I love feeling the burn, but I love how it empowers me, and I love subsequently empowering others in the same way. And if you feel passionate about that, I highly recommend you check these guys out. Because right now, certified personal trainers are in higher demand than ever. And NASM can help you make your goals a reality. They're going to guarantee that you will land a job within 90 days of earning your certification, or you get your money back. So you can get started right now with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, and easy online program. All you have to do is go to usatrainer.com.
What's that again?
Oh, let me tell you. usatrainer.com.
Okay. Okay, we're back. And Sandra from North Carolina wants to talk to you.
Hey, Sandra, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, my God, Julia, thank you for calling me. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited.
Oh,
I just
want
to say really quickly,
yeah.
I love you. I love Janice. I get a kick out of the two listening to you together. And I'm supposed to play it cool, my husband said, but I can't.
Oh, well, we don't want you to. Tell him to mind his own business. We want excessive excitement, don't we, Janice?
We do, always.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, he's excited for me because he knows I'm such a fan. So awesome. Aww. Thank you, guys.
No. Thanks for calling. What's going on, bud?
I got a gas problem.
Oh, hold on. No. This is my kind of segment. All right, to explain, give me the history. Lay it all out for me here.
Okay, I would say I've noticed more so the last 5 years.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. Like, I noticed probably about 5 years ago, like, that I would get really bad stomach pains from milk. Like, I just couldn't handle drinking milk anymore.
Okay.
So I got off of that, and I do drink So Delicious milk.
Okay.
And that does not hurt my stomach.
Are you off all dairy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know. Is that so? That's probably part of it.
Right.
And it just seems like everything I eat upsets my stomach more and more, like as the years have gone on. Like,
everything you eat?
It kind of does. Like, there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't have a problem.
Okay, but have you kept, like, a journal in that you're noticing that certain foods are causing it? Because,
yes.
Okay, because listen, there's a lot of things that can cause gas. So a lot of times, like, a lot of the healthier foods that have a lot of cellulose, which is plant fiber that's very difficult to break down, that can cause gas. Foods that digest more slowly essentially can allow for fermentation, you know, where the bacteria breaks down in the lower part of your small intestine there and ferments in your colon, and to make a very long story short, can make you gassy. If you were having any kind of artificial or like sugar alcohol, like mannitol or sorbitol or sugar-free foods, that can do it. It could be a food intolerance, like what you're talking about, like with dairy. That could be doing it. So have you tracked, like, when it's happening?
Recently, I noticed it more so, like, after lunch, which is crazy because I'm, like, a creature of habit. I've heard you say that, too. I'll eat the same things. Like, I could tell you what I've had for breakfast and lunch exactly for months.
Okay.
Which is the same thing. But dinner always changes up. It's whatever I cook for the family.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's because it's a salad and I eat vegetarian meatballs. I'm not a vegetarian. I just like them. And they have a lot of protein in them.
Soy, though? They have a lot of soy protein, I imagine.
Probably.
Ugh.
Probably.
Okay.
And I'm starting to wonder, like, if I need to get tested to see if I have food allergies.
You probably do, but that's why I'm just looking. That's what I was going to tell you is at the end of this call, is as we try to kind of take a look at things that you might be able to do, that you probably do want to see a doctor, because if you've eliminated, are you taking probiotics? Because
I tried for 3 weeks recently, and
buddy, that's not a long time. You've got to literally allow the good bacteria and the flora in your gut to sort of rebuild and colonize. It's not going to happen overnight. That's something you should just be doing consistently.
Really?
Absolutely. I do it every day.
It just seemed like when I was on them, like, I was going to the restroom more. And I have no problem going to the bathroom. Like, I'm really regular. And I know when I'm going to go. I don't have any accidents out in public. Like, I just know. I'm on clockwork.
I am glad to know there are no accidents out in public. You know, Janice has a few of those from time to time, and they're quite embarrassing.
I'm not blowing any public restrooms up. Like, I know when I need to go.
One of my favorite things to do is steal Heidi's phone, because I can get it onto her Facebook that way and post that, like, she's, you know, she's got terrible diarrhea. And she's just was humiliated.
Oh, my gosh. My husband said, don't say that word on the radio.
No. That's fine. We love these words here on this show.
This is what we're all about.
Yeah, we love this stuff. This is great fun. Okay, first of all, you should just get back on that as a supplement for optimal health. There is a product called Bio-K. That's a really good, just straight probiotic. It's like a little yogurt thing. Or you can take a probiotic supplement. So, you know, but you got to be a little more consistent with that. And then, so you're eating, okay, so for lunch, soy meatballs, what else? Are you noticing it after you eat raw vegetables? Or fruits?
Broccoli maybe.
Okay. Cook all your food.
Cook all my food.
All of it. I want you to try, look up macrobiotic.
Macrobiotic.
A macrobiotic diet is a diet where, like, they cook foods in a certain way. And while, you know, people love to talk about, like, raw fruits and vegetables, the reality is that we often don't have the digestive enzymes to process raw fruits and vegetables. And it can make us sick to our stomach, gassy, because when you cook vegetables, and I'm not asking you to, like, completely deplete it of all of its nutrients, but cooking it, like blanching it or a light steam or cooking it in the microwave so it doesn't lose, you know, the nutrients don't leach into the water. But when you cook it, it's essentially pre-digesting that fiber. And it really helps with regard to being gassy. Another thing is digestive enzymes. Have you been trying that?
No. What's this?
Ah, okay. So digestive enzymes essentially help you break down your food and digest it. And a lot of times as we get older, we don't make the same digestive enzymes that we did when we were young. Digestive enzymes, you can buy a supplement in the store that will help you. Beano is an enzyme, but it's like, it's not really like a, I don't want to say anything bad because I don't want to be sued, nor do I think it's bad, but I just think I would get, I would go to the health food store, I would get a quality probiotic, a quality digestive enzyme, and you got to stick with it. So
consistently take it. Like the probiotic that I bought was from New Chapter.
Chapter's a good one. New Chapter's fine.
Okay, but I'll have to look up this other product. I didn't know that there was something that could happen. So could it be age, like, as far as, like, you know, I'm over my 30s now, and, you know, like, I've noticed it.
Look, it could be a lot of things, but if it was something like age, it's not going to be that your stomach isn't functioning properly. It's going to be that you have become depleted in probiotics from having too much antibiotic treatment or antibiotics in your food or antibiotics in your water. And it could be the fact that, you know, your digestive enzymes have become depleted and you'll need to supplement. That simple.
Okay.
So I would try those two things. Now, if you know you have a dairy, cook all your vegetables. And I would just cut out fruit for right now because of the sugar. So cut the fruit out and go cook all your vegetables. Dairy, you know you have a dairy issue. So
yeah, because milk would give me stomach cramps.
Okay, now here's what's interesting about milk is while you always think it's going to be like lactose, it isn't necessarily. Sometimes people can have an issue with dairy protein. So are you doing cheese and yogurt and all of that?
No, I don't really normally eat yogurt that often because they give me an upset stomach too.
So you haven't cut dairy out. Where are you getting dairy from?
Well, I do like cheese. I don't eat it every day. I do eat feta cheese.
Okay.
That would be more often. I can't think of anything, you know, occasionally, like, I'll have sour cream with, you know, dinner, but these are occasional things. These aren't regular things that I'm having.
Okay.
And I feel like the cleaner I eat, not clean, because I'm not a clean eater, because I still do, like, enjoy things like chocolate, but,
That's fine. Here's what anybody's going to tell you to do. They're going to tell you to, like, remove a lot of this stuff and then add it back in slowly. So
you know what's affecting me.
Yeah, but soy also can cause gas, though, buddy, and you're having soy every day for lunch.
I didn't even think of that.
Soy is also known to cause, like, bloating and gas.
Yeah, I get bloating, yes.
Okay, you're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
Just here, cook all your vegetables, right? That's okay. One. Get on probiotics and get on digestive enzymes. Remove the soy.
Okay.
Any artificial sweeteners or sugar alcohols, remove.
What about sugar, the raw sugar? Stevia?
That should be fine. Sugar like mannitol, sorbitol, maltitol, because it goes undigested. And it wreaks havoc in your sort of intestinal, you're in your intestinal tract. Hold on. I would remove the dairy for now and go with a coconut or an almond alternative. And that should clean you up, literally. Okay. But you,
where is soy? Is soy in a lot of things that I'm not?
Yes, but you're having you're having those meatballs. I guarantee you they're soy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it is. It's
I can almost hear you from here after those meatballs.
Yeah, Sandra. Whoa. Yeah. Take it easy.
Hello, my baby. Hello,
oh, my gosh. We don't want any public accidents. My God. Gee
whiz. But you're right about the soy. I learned that from you on the tour. Soy's in everything.
Yeah, soy's
everywhere.
In everywhere. It is. Soy's in everything. Yeah. But it's like, it's one thing if there's like soy lecithin in a product or a little bit of soy flour. If you can, try to remove soy, because soy is known to cause bloating and gas. And you're noticing it after lunch, right after having soy meatballs.
Yeah,
now,
more so.
After you've removed all this stuff,
okay.
If this is not better in a month, then, you know, because you said 5 years, so obviously you've been dealing with this for a while. You're not going to die. You don't have something serious, but if this is not better in a month, then you can go and see like a gastro doctor. The fart guy, yeah. To the fart guy. Yeah. And, you know.
Janice, say that three more times so I could just make my husband just die.
Yeah, do that, Janice. Come on.
Go and see the.
Come on, Janice.
The fart guy, the fart man, the fart doctor, the fart meister. Mr. Fart.
Yes.
I'm here to see Mr. Fart.
Yes.
We're here for the farts.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not the farts. We're here to banish the farts.
We're here to banish the farts.
To fight the farts.
Excuse me, doctor, I have a huge fart problem. Could you please help?
Well, it is a problem.
It is a problem.
And it's uncomfortable.
And Sandra's lucky she's married. Look, think about me with a date. Hello. It's terrible.
That's true.
The kale. Don't eat kale, Sandra.
Because it's raw vegetables. I said cook it.
That's right. Cook the kale.
Yes, but the digestive enzymes should help you, but I just want her to hit all of it.
Yeah.
So after a month, if you have not noticed any improvement, then go to Mr. Fight Farts. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because he probably would want to rule out some sort of GI issue, and I don't want to freak you out because there's the chances of it being something like Crohn's or whatever are very slim.
Right.
But go to him and have him check you for food allergies. If you've removed all this stuff and it gets better, then very gradually start adding things back in.
Okay.
And see, go, I had that cheese or whatever, and here it is again. Or I had these veggies raw, and now here it is again. So one at a time, very slowly, you add it back in. But the soy, you never need to be on the soy.
Ah, man, I'm going to have to really investigate my labels.
Skip the soy. Well, it'll be in little things here and there, like soy flour or what have you. But, like, you don't need to be on a soy meatball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jillian's not, she's not happy about that soy meatball.
No,
you know how many times you said the soy meatball?
Soy meatball. Well, and look what's happening. She's blowing up after
Because of what?
Like an atom bomb is coming out of her rear end after she eats that. I'm trying to help, Janice.
Wait, I just want to put out there, I didn't say any of that what you just said.
Yeah, no, she didn't say that, but
you just said I'm just Sandra has an atom bomb.
She's being very transparent.
I'm trying to help her. I know, but now you have something about that soy meatball.
Said after lunch, it's worse. Did you not?
I did.
See?
Did say that.
There, I'm trying to help.
I did. And
listen,
I appreciate
don't try to act like Sandra should feel uncomfortable. Everybody farts, Janice.
No, I realize that.
You often fart right outside this door,
well,
right
at
here.
At least I open the door.
She sticks her butt out and farts right outside the door, Sandra. It's one time she farted in my backpack, and everybody saw it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, remember that, Jake?
Yeah,
she farted right in my backpack,
straight in.
Designer backpack.
When Jillian went to the bathroom, I just thought it was open. It was there for the taking.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it was caught on film.
Bloody animal.
Man.
Yeah.
That's a really good prank. I hope when you opened it up, it just came out.
Exactly. That's what I was
what
hoping.
What's your problem? You hope when I... What made you take her side here?
Because
I'm the victim
I'm
in
not,
all this.
I'm not. Janice, grow up. Grow up.
Thank you, Sandra. It's your problem.
Again, I'm so excited you guys called me. You guys made my day. My birthday's next weekend, and this is the best present.
Happy
Thank
birthday,
you.
Bud.
Thank
happy birthday.
You.
And, like, try all this. I think that's good. Oh, shoot. Last but not least, are you drinking carbonated beverages?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that can cause it, too. Okay. All right.
No.
You're good to go.
No.
Happy birthday, Sandra.
Right,
no soy in the birthday cake, or it's not going to be a fun night for you.
Okay. Jillian,
yes.
By any chance, if you have a picture that you could autograph and send to me?
I certainly will.
All right.
Could you please?
Make a note of that.
If you got poster size, it would look great in my gym.
I don't have a poster size, but I will. I'll send you whatever we got, buddy. Can you imagine if I did? No problem. You want the 20 by 24? Absolutely. I keep posters of me just around the house. You know, Heidi would love that.
I mean, it's inspiration. Thank you both so much for calling me.
No, thank
okay,
you.
Sandra, I'll call you back
day.
And get your info.
Okay, thank you again. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You know, the sad thing is normally I directly and immediately refer people to doctors, but I felt like I could handle this one.
No, but that was good. You narrowed it down because you did narrow it down. I'd be curious to find out if it was those soy meatballs. We haven't talked farts for so long. It just brings joy to my heart.
Well, because here's the thing. While I find them terribly amusing, I don't want to partake in them.
I know.
I would like to experience them as little as possible. Although Dr. Oz says that we fart like some crazy amount a day. Let me look this up.
You know what I just found when I was moving some stuff around? What you got me for Christmas for our Secret Santa?
Oh, my fart book.
The Farts Around the World book.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I had a good solid 15 minutes with that just dying.
Laughing.
Yeah. Embarrassing questions today on Dr. Oz. What makes fart stinks? Home remedies for gas, farts and flat. Oh, we should have told her. I just found out that a fart and remedy is fennel. Sandra. Dr. Oz says fennel. Wonder
fennel.
If it works.
Well,
yeah, but he said somewhere about farting. Fart 14 times a day, he says. Dr. Oz farts 14 times a day.
But
it's like once an hour.
I'm going to remember that if I ever watch the show when he comes back from commercial break. If he's smiling, then I'm going to know what he just did on the commercial break. 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not that much. I would at least 14.
Whoa.
But mine now, suddenly, all of a sudden now, they're sneaking out. And I think there's something wrong. Like, the older I get, something changes. The area changes the older you get. And I've noticed in these last, mostly this last year, things are just escaping on their own. Whether it's a pee squirt or a toot. It just, and it's like, oh, no. Really? Is this my destiny? I'm, you know, like I'll be talking to someone and I'll go, oh my God, I just farted in this conversation. And it's not like it's loud. It's just like, boop. I just don't know what to do.
Is sit down every time we talk to them. And then when something comes out, you can act like you just moved weird on the seat. That's what I do.
Yeah. You pretend you don't. But you
no,
do.
No, I didn't say I don't. I said I try not to.
Oh. Well, wait till you get into your 50s, and all of a sudden it's like, loop. Loop.
Did I tell you about the time when Loop farted in line? Did I ever tell you about that? Oh, I had to have told you about this. We were in line at the Vitamin Barn, and...
Oh, wait, something.
Didn't I tell you? And she farted. She ripped ass. And everybody turned and looked, and I was like, this is a lose-lose for me because all going to think it's me, or I throw the three-year-old under the bus, and then everyone thinks it's me, but then I blamed my three-year-old because it was like a man-sized fart that came out of this kid's tiny little butt. It was like, and then I looked at her, and I was like, Lou, honey, you feeling okay? And she just looked at me blankly, and I know that everybody was like a horrible woman. I just blamed her 3-year-old. And oh boy, yeah, yeah.
Oh dear. See,
Phoenix is like a just a machine gun boy. You pick him up and it's like, I'm like, what's living in you, mother of God? And he just looks at me with this blank stare. Like nothing happened.
I would not have known what it sounded like until you gave that fantastic audio.
I pick him up and it's like baby alive. You know, I pick him up and it's like, like he's been waiting all day for me to pick him up and squeeze it right out of him. Jeez,
oh God.
Alrighty.
Well, and what a better way to end the show today with that. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
It's Audible time. Audible.com, you guys. They're a leading provider of spoken audio information, books, entertainment, podcasts, you name it. You can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. They've got over 100,000 titles and virtually every genre of book that you could possibly want. You'll find what you're looking for. Check it out. They're giving away to our listeners a free audiobook and a 30-day trial. All you've got to do is sign up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.